I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Panic and Treat, the podcast, is a personal podcast produced for informational and entertainment purposes only. The content reflects the host's opinions and personal experiences as new graduate nurses. It does not constitute professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.
All patient details have been changed or left out to protect privacy in accordance to HIPAA guidelines. Any resemblance to real people is purely coincidental. The point of views in this podcast are ours alone and do not reflect those of our employers, schools, or any organizations we are connected to. For health concerns or concerns of a general nature, please talk to a qualified professional. And with that, let's get started.
All right, buddy.
Okay. All right, let's get this start us off. What are we doing here today, Jess?
Well, we're going to gap. For the third time, and hopefully it records this time.
Just so you know, everybody, we recorded an entire episode, and we did not actually record it. We were just fucking yapping over here. That's okay. We needed it.
So, welcome to the Panic and Treat podcast.
This is Jess. I'm Alora.
Well, I would say we talk about our drinks, but Jessica already drank all her Starbucks for the day.
Well, okay, so the name of our episode today is Lost and Confused on the Floor. You'll get why. Yeah. But we were drinking Starbucks today. I have a, well, kind of sipped, brown sugar shaken espresso, and that was a sugar-free vanilla chai.
Yeah. And then our candle this week is, it's melted already. It says, look at you becoming a nurse and shit. It's one of our new grad gifts from Mom. All right, Alora. I don't even know where we're going to go with this one because we've already yapped
on it. I don't know. I'm like, we talked about it all already. We got to re-talk about it again.
Okay.
Tell them your story. We got to do our story again. One more time.
I don't know if I can make it as funny as it was the first time.
It was perfect. Continue. Okay. Tell us. She had a story for me that she texted me and she was like, I can't tell you because I need your raw reaction on the podcast. And I was like, okay. And then I did that twice for her.
Raw reaction right now.
Okay. Raw reaction. So, but she's going to tell us because I feel like it's still a funny story that we all need to hear.
Yeah. So I had a patient this week and we got some like newer, I'm not going to say newer, I'm going to say younger hospitalists right now. Mm-hmm. And they're all very funny. But this one particular hospitalist we have right now, he likes to tell his patients jokes. And this week I had this one patient and she was complaining that her ears and her back of her throat were hurting. And so he got, we should have looked it up. This is the third time talking about it.
Gosh, dang
the
it.
The little thing that looks in your ear.
An odo something.
Anyway, so he was like looking in her ears with it. And then so the little, you know, eye looker thinger. That's good. We're going to call it the eye looker
thinger. The eye looker thingy.
The eye looker
the thingy my bopper.
So he's like looking in her ears and he's like, okay. And she's like got her mouth open. He's looking in the back of her throat and he's like, that's the best view I've had somebody's back of somebody's throat.
Okay, wait, how was she laying? Was she like all the way flat on her back?
literally, she was like, and he's like looking at her throat. He says, the best view I've had of the back of somebody's throat. And she goes, I'm used to being like this.
Maybe she just meant she's used to laying down. Not the woman.
Three of them. And this lady's a meemaw, okay? She's old. And she's, like, looking at him. I'm looking at him. And we're all looking at each other. And he's, like, I'm not even going to say anything. And, of course, me being me, I was, like, well, I'll say it. That was inappropriate.
Absolutely thinking I'm going to catch an HR case for this one.
Right. And so, for the rest of the day, I felt so bad. Because the rest of the day, she's, like, is he mad at me? And I was, like, no, I thought it was hilarious. She was so embarrassed.
I would say some out-of-pocket shit like that, too. And then they're, like, oh. I'm sorry,
inappropriate comments.
That was R18.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Any funny things happened to you this week?
Well, I kind of have a story going off of that one. I just like, what do you even say in that situation? The comments tell me what you would say because I genuinely like feel like I'm still really bad at handling that situation. So I'm like, oh, That was an inside thought.
That was an inside thought that came out.
Like, don't say that again. I had a peepaw.
A peepaw.
And it was a couple weeks ago, and he was coming in for something completely unrelated, but he had some altered mental status, meaning he was cuckoo-cachoo, but he was funny. But he was incontinent, which means that they can't really, like, regulate their bowels and their urine, so he was peeing all over himself. So we were like, okay, let's try it. A PrimoFit. And for all our non-nursing folks, a PrimoFit is like a little plastic bag that has suction attached to the wall. And it kind of just, like, sucks up the urine into a canister. That way you're not getting it all over yourself.
And we can measure it.
It's for short-term stuff, obviously. Like, we don't keep it on very long. And he was able to come off of it a couple hours later. But it gets a little hard anatomy-wise when they don't have much going on. And we have, like, little stickers. So me and this brand new CNA are desperately trying to put on. And he goes, "You're struggling a little bit there." And I was like, "Yeah, we'll get it here in a second." He goes, "Just give me a minute and I'll grow for you."
That was an inside thought.
I'm like, old men. Old Why men. Would you say that? And this brand new CNA is, like, mortified. She was like, "What do I say?" And I was like, I don't know. And I said, "And anyways, let's continue with our admission." Gosh, like, what do you even say to that? Oh, sometimes I feel like sometimes it's better to just be like, okay, moving on. Don't even, like, acknowledge the situation. But I don't know if that's what you're really supposed to do.
We're going to get into HR. It's fine.
Mm-hmm. I'm not catching that case.
No, ma'am.
Neither is that doctor.
No, so we wanted to talk to you guys this week about kind of, like, what our orientation looked like as LPNs and our new grad RN orientation kind of was like, because mm-hmm. I feel like since we started as LPNs, our orientation was a little bit different.
Yes.
So go ahead, Alora, tell us about your LPN orientation.
Oh gosh. So I definitely think I had a little rough start to my LPN orientation, because when I transferred over from being a CNA to an LPN at the hospital, like, I definitely just think I was learning too much at one time, if that makes sense. Because mm-hmm. I had just come from long-term care. I will talk about it more, but long-term care charting is just so much different than hospital charting. Like, I came to the hospital and I was trying to learn all these tasks that the CNAs do on the floor. Mm-hmm. And then I was having to chart so much. Like, we chart at least every 2 hours, bare minimum. And when you're a CNA, you have, like, 8 to 12 patients that you're taking care of, which doesn't sound like a lot, especially to my long-term girls. I know my long-term girls are going, "I have, like, 30 patients. Shut up." And I'm like, fair enough. But, man, it's still crazy work.
It's different.
So I was learning all these skills and I was already kind of, like, just feeling very overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And then right about the time that I felt like I was getting comfortable with it, bam, I started my LPN. But it was not a very smooth transition, because my epic charting as a CNA didn't look the same as my nurse charting. So I wasn't able to chart correctly. My preceptor was precepting, like, somebody for the first time from the ground up, because I have, like, no nursing experience at all, yeah. Right? Like, brand new coming into this, you have to teach me everything. So we were, like, learning the learning curve with that as well. And then I could not get into the Omni cell to save my damn life. And the Omni cell is where we pull all our meds from. So I couldn't pull any meds. I'm just watching her do all these things. Mm-hmm. I can't really hang anything because we were in, like, an antibiotic drought. We were just not doing any.
Yeah,
and then, of course, the second I got off of orientation, I was doing Zosyn every single patient, every 4 hours. And I was like, what the hell is this?
Mm-hmm.
Anyways. And then the Pyxis is another, like, we use so many different devices to get different things.
Our hospital doesn't pick one and go with it.
No. So we have, like, 10 million different machines that we grab things from. And so it took 2 weeks to get my Pyxis access. And that's where we pull, like, all of our fluids. And anyway, so that's where you, like, pull fluids from, and you pull, like, all your catheter and wound care stuff from.
Mm-hmm.
And it would only let me open one drawer out of 7 drawers, and it was the goddamn glove drawer. It's like, what am I going to do with gloves?
You're like, I don't even have any sterile gloves.
I was like, I don't need these. So I had the worst imposter syndrome of my life, because I felt like I wasn't actually getting to do the charting, and I wasn't actually able to pull the meds and everything. So I was struggling so hard. And it took me about 3 weeks of looking, like, doing things and finally just, like, getting out of the trenches to look on this board. We have a giant board on my floor that shows, like, who the nurse is, who the CNA is, what the patient's name is, and who their doctor is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of when it hit me. It literally took me almost a month into it to, like, look at my name under the nurse tab.
and go, oh, shoot, that's what I am now. That's my job now. And I mean, it got a little bit better. My orientation was only 3 months long. Jess will tell you hers was a little bit longer than mine was. She even started earlier than I did. Yeah. And we kind of finished at the same place, but it was just like, and I'll talk more about it, but I definitely want to hear about yours, but it was a lot for me.
Yeah. I definitely had imposter syndrome just because for the longest time it was, oh, you can't do that because you're a CNA. Never just.
Because you spent 4 years.
Yeah, but being pulling meds and giving people meds was like a weird thing for me because mm-hmm. for the longest time I had like, you know, you can't bump their oxygen up because in our state it's a medication. Mm-hmm. And just the things that nurses do is so specialized compared to CNAs that for the longest time I was like, and obviously I'm a nurse, like I can hand you a pill. Mm-hmm. But for a while there, it took me quite a bit. And luckily my preceptor was like, Jessica, you're being ridiculous.
She said, get over yourself. She did.
I love her. But I just for the longest time, I was like, oh, I just like did not want to go do things by myself. It was really hard.
Yeah, it's scary.
But then, you know, I got comfortable. And by the time I like switched to nights, which was awful for me, my body hated night shift. I felt like I was okay to like kind of go off and do a couple things by myself without having to have somebody stand over me. But that took quite a while to get to. Mm-hmm. But my LPN orientation was 14 weeks. I had 7 weeks on days and 7 weeks on nights. And my days was great. Like I felt like I learned so much and I was getting more comfortable. But by the time I got to nights, I was so sick and just like not well that I don't think I learned anything on nights. It was really hard for me.
I felt the exact opposite because I work on the night shift primarily. Yeah. So I spent, I think, like 8 of my 12 weeks on the night shift. And then the last like couple weeks I spent on the day shift. And I was so overwhelmed.
Yeah.
When I came to the day shift. Like, I think it's, I don't know. We would have to kind of compare. Like, if you think maybe, should people start on the day shift and learn on the day shift and then move to the night shift, or start on the night shift and then move to the day shift?
I don't know.
Like when
I think it's such a personal thing because mm-hmm. like I know there's nurses that have gone from nights to days and they've been like they've worked nights for like years and they come to days and they're like, oh my God. And it's because,
yeah, that's me.
Literally, I don't, who was that? There was a TikToker that was like, what is it like being a nurse? And she was like, it's interruptions.
I think that's like my biggest issue because I just I feel this.
It's interruptions because you're handing somebody meds and you're doing like these things that require your full focus and your phone's ringing or somebody's asking you for a glass of water or mm-hmm. a blanket. And so you're sitting there and you're like trying to do these like very important focused tasks while being interrupted.
Yeah.
And it's on nights you're interrupted, but like on days you're interrupted.
But the thing is, I'm really not interrupted on nights. Really? Like I guess, well, this is perfect. We'll just kind of talk about like what our experiences is like working the different shifts.
Yeah.
Like this is a good time to listen in and hear like, what do we do on the night shift versus what do you do on the day shift? So when I'm on the night shift, I'm very like focused on making sure I get that assessment first. Like it's the first thing I do. Like,
yeah, they can go to sleep, right?
So they can go to sleep because I've got almost a very narrow window to do these. Cause you kind of have all day on the day shift to kind of like do your assessment, reassessment, everything. You kind of need, like, there's a little bit more time because they're awake.
Yeah.
But I have a very narrow window from like 7 to 10 where people are awake. And after that, they're like, don't touch me.
Don't bother me.
Don't touch me. And obviously like if you have to do one after 10, you have to do one after 10, but you know, like you got to try and work with them as much as possible. Cause it sucks to be woken up after that.
Yeah.
So I'm doing my assessments like first thing. It has to be the first thing I do. And I don't have the doctors interrupting my assessments to do the rounding with me. I think that was my biggest pet peeve on the day shift when I would come in at 7 a.m. on my first day of 3 days. And they would call me at 7:15 and they're like, do you think we could discharge this patient today? And I'm like, I don't know who the fuck that is.
We have like 4 doctors that do that. They call it like 7 and they're mm-hmm. like, and I'm like, dude, I don't even have a report on this like, patient yet. I know nothing.
They're like, how's the patient right now? And I'm like, I haven't even gone in there yet.
I don't even know if they're breathing. They're killing.
Well, I mean, obviously they're breathing. We have them on like 24-hour minute by minute vitals.
But I'm like, they're chilling. I don't know.
And I have to go, I'll call you back in like 2 hours when I do all my assessments.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my thing. Like I do the assessments as like as quick as possible. Like they've got to be thorough too. Like they can't just be focused. Like we have to do the whole head to toe. Yeah. And I'm very much like a religious person about skin.
Yeah.
I'm like, I need to find all the things.
Alluring.
And I have a little bit more time to do so with that than you guys do, which is why I do it. And then the meds, And then I don't have the thing that you guys do every single day where you pass all your meds and you're like, I'm done. And then the doctor adds on one more. And then you have to get up from your chair and go pass that med.
Lucky duck.
And then you pass that one and then you get another one and then another one and then three different random sporadic orders. Like, I don't ever have that usually. Like, if I have an order, it's because I usually asked for something on the night shift. Mm-hmm. So it just, like, it's just not as interrupting. Like, I have a job. I have a goal. I have what we're supposed to be doing for the nights, and I don't have the dietary. I talk to respiratory when I need them.
Yeah.
It's just like, I feel less interrupted and I'm actually able to do my job a little bit better.
Well, and I feel like as new grads on nights, like, you have time to sit down and learn about your patient.
And you can look in that chart and you can talk.
And I think I got lucky because my preceptors on my floor were really great about, like, showing me how to find things and know what things I need to know quickly. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why I do so well on days compared to what I, like, nights was really hard for me, obviously. But, like, knowing by 10 a.m., like, the things that you need to know about your patient that you don't get in report. Like, the other day I had a patient who had actually had, like, 4 or 5 broken ribs, and not a single person for days had passed that on in report. Oh. And I'm like, no wonder this lady's, like, freaking out when we're turning her and changing her. She's hurting. Yeah, and nobody knew. And she had dementia, like, couldn't be like, oh, my back hurts, or, oh, my ribs hurt. You know, so, like, it was a lot of, like, nonverbal cues. But, like, had I not sat down for the 10 minutes that I sat down and looked at her chart and found that, I would have never known. I would have never been able to be like, hey, can you be, like, extra careful with her? She has broken ribs, to my feelings, you know? So just being able to find those moments to be uninterrupted on days is so hard. And I've watched so many of our new grads come from nights. And granted, you know, this is year 5 for me at our hospital, but, like, coming and watching and seeing this for years, like, they come to days and they have no idea how seriously interrupted your day is. Like, you can't do one task. You have to do, like, 6 tasks all at once to get things done. And I feel like that's the biggest learning curve, is how do I balance all of those tasks?
Yes.
And I think I got lucky because I had already learned how to balance the tasks as a CNA.
Yeah.
And then I just had to learn how to balance the tasks with the interruptions.
Yeah.
And so, thank God nights didn't work for me. I don't think I could stand them. I'm so glad that you love nights, because you take those all days.
It sucks because I really want to love days. Like, I feel like I do a little bit better, like, sleeping wise on days. I don't know. I feel like I sleep okay on nights too, for the most part. I just wish I didn't, like, the ear, like, the interruptions, they irk me so bad. Like, I get a lot more mad than I should.
We actually just had a nurse go, she just came to days, and she was on days for, like, 2 months, and she had to switch back to nights because she was, like, so overstimulated by all of the interruptions that she was still there till, like, 10 o'clock trying to catch up on everything, because she was like, I can't even, like, finish what I'm doing because I'm getting all these phone calls.
Yeah.
I'm getting all these alerts and these alarms and all of these things that I have to get done, that I can't focus. And she was like, I can't do this. And she went back to night.
Yeah. I think it's like, there's definitely like issues to both.
Yeah.
I hated when I was on days. I really did. Like, I felt so overwhelmed. And I think because I knew I was only training on there for a couple weeks, and I knew I was only doing that. Like, if I was committed to staying on the day shift, I probably would do better. But I was just like, I just need to learn what I need to learn, and I need to go back because I'm just not mentally ready for it. I had one day where somebody was going down for, I believe, like, a contrast CT.
Mm-hmm.
And the CT person called me and was asking this, like, medically complex question about their aspirin allergy. And I looked at him and I went, hang up the phone and call the doctor.
Because I have no idea.
I was like, why would I know that? Well, and it's just like, I know they have an aspirin allergy, but they were asking me, like, some pathophysiology about as to why. Like, they wanted to do this med instead of this med. And they went, well, what's your opinion? And I said,
I don't know.
I said, my opinion is you call the doctor. And he went, oh, well, I just thought I would call you first. And I was like, I need you to call the doctor. And he did. And they answered the question and they figured it out from there. But I just felt like they're a middleman for probably things I shouldn't have been the middleman for. Like, I think it's very much expected that the nurses are kind of like the go-to communication hub.
The hub, yeah.
Yeah, nurse hub.
Okay, we love Nurse Hub. We had so much fun with them at the SNA conference.
Check them out.
They're fun.
Check them out.
But I think it's interesting how we're like the center of everything, and the people get mad at you when you don't know the answer.
Yeah, like there's certain things, yes, that you come to us first and we can relay out.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's just too many things right now that should be sent to different people that shouldn't include us until the decision is ready to be made.
Yeah.
Unless you want to give us more autonomy and pay us more to do it.
Like, I can't make
at the end of the day. But then I go to the night shift, and I love the night shift for the most part. I feel like I have more time to look at the chart, and I love to look at those little details for you guys that you guys can't look at during the day.
Yeah, I feel like my night shift nurses give me so much information. Yeah.
And I'm like, yes, my reports tend to be longer. They give a little bit more than I think they're supposed to. But it also, I think, helps people out a lot more to have those details that you're not going to be able to look it up. You don't have time. No. I was on the day shift. I remember.
No.
There's just no way.
It's crazy the amount of things that we deal with on the day shift.
The thing is, like, I feel like I go a little bit more crazy at night, though, because it gets so quiet. And I love a quiet environment. I really do. But you hear every single alarm. Like, it doesn't matter where you're at on the floor. Like, you can hear it from anywhere. And so anytime somebody's like Masimo, which is the system that we use to monitor your vitals, like anytime anybody's oxygen is slightly off or their heart rate's a little bit too fast, like it is just constantly in your face because there's no outside noise to kind of drown it out.
Do you get alarm fatigue?
Yes.
Do you, have you had the dreams of the IV pumps but beeping in your like searching down the hallway?
No, I've never had that. I've had dreams where I literally worked a full shift in my dream though. Like it was when I was on orientation. That I think it was very much an anxiety thing. Like I said, I struggled a lot with my LPN orientation for 3 months. I was not doing mentally well, but we'll get into that in a little bit. But no, I would have full on, like I'm talking like it felt like a 12-hour shift. Like I would go to bed, do my dream shift, wake up, go to work again,
yeah.
Do another shift. I was so mentally fucked. But I haven't had one of those in quite a long time. But I don't ever hear the beeping in my dreams.
Oh, I've had a dream where I was like searching for the beeping IV pump, and you're like, "What the heck?"
And you just never find
it. And you never find it, and you wake up and you're like,
"Okay." But I have that in reality sometimes, where I hear an IV pump beeping somewhere, and like I said, when it's at night, you can hear it from anywhere on the floor. So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, "Where is it?"
You're like walking down the hall, and you're like searching. And I'll kind of like
go towards it, and then it gets farther away, and I'm like.
You're like wrong way.
I'm like, I feel like I'm in the back rooms right now.
Oh,
and then I'll go towards, I was like, no, it's the other way. And then it just sounds even farther away. And I'm like, where?
Oh, I've gotten to the point where I just like open doors.
No. And I'll just like listen at the door and I'm like,
it's not there.
And then sometimes it is there. And I'm like, where?
You know, the BiPAP alarms.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Sometimes I still have like a hard time differentiating. Like they all sound like panic.
Yeah, they sound like the panic.
They sound like panic and run. I'm like, I need to panic. We're panicking.
Or
it's literally just saying that like the seal is off a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. And you're like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. Like we just need to go adjust a mask.
I know, but I'm so scared to touch that thing.
Really?
I feel like that's something. Yeah, I feel like that's something we have to talk about more. Like new grads, feel like you don't ever know what to touch and what not to touch.
Yeah, don't touch ventilators.
Don't touch anything.
Don't touch ventilators.
Call the RT.
Call the RT.
If you don't have the RT, panic.
Panic.
Yeah, ask for somebody else.
Ask for somebody else. Somebody more experienced.
Oh, yeah. Like,
no. I feel like we got good RTs in our hospital. I had an O2 home O2 eval the other day, and I was like, I don't know how this actually works. Because the patient was asking me all these questions about, like, where do they get their oxygen tanks and all of these things, and I'm like, I don't know, they just show up in the room.
You're like, well,
I don't know. So I had to call the RT.
That's a question for your respiratory therapist.
Yeah, I had to call the RT and be like, can you walk me through this? And they were so kind to me.
Mm-hmm.
So kind. Because I was like, the patient's asking me so many questions right now, and I don't even know like how to answer them. I was like, I told them that you guys just come and do it, and I don't know.
Truly. Yeah, and
there was no education.
That's, I think, my biggest takeaway for this episode is that when you don't know how to do something, you go find someone that does.
Go find somebody that
does. You're not expected to know everything, and I think that's something I really struggled with, is that you can't have the answer to everything, but you at least need to know who to talk to have that answer. I'm like, that's why we have a whole team, is because you literally can't do everything in one. Like, you're just one person.
Yeah.
And while you do many different tasks as nurses, like, we can't be everything.
No.
But we can't ask somebody who knows something. And that's our superpower.
Yeah. So for your RN orientation, I know we both... So because we did such a long LPN orientation, our hospital, when we switched and transitioned from LPNs to RNs...
Need to scooch. Yeah, I was so comfortable the first two times we did this. And now I'm like, I don't know.
No, I feel like... So because we had such a long LPN orientation, we only got 2 weeks as RNs, and it's because they were like, you just need to learn how to do these couple things. And I feel like my preceptor for my RN was really good about finding those opportunities for me to do blood and to do all of the things that RNs do that LPNs didn't do. That by the time I got off orientation, I was okay. But the other day, I still have like these moments where I like panic and I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And Have you had that happen? Like,
I just think there's not enough to, I don't know. I just don't know if there was enough time on orientation to really do the things that we needed to do. Cause there were only a couple things that we really needed to learn. Like you can't, in our state, you can't do blood as an LPN. You can't do TPN as an LPN.
IVIG,
chemo.
I did that one by myself.
Yeah.
For the first time, and I was like panicking.
And on my floor, we specialize in DKA, so we do drips.
We send them to you.
Yeah, so we specialize in that, but that's like.
Do you guys do IVIG on your floor, or is that my floor?
No, we try not to. Okay. We can, technically, yeah, but luckily, we try to send it to you.
Everybody's like really good about. I feel like I got really lucky because the nurses on my floor, I'm like, I don't know how to do this. And they're always like, let's just go learn. Let's go do it together. I'll show you.
Yeah.
And I feel like not a lot of new grads have that experience, but I think we're lucky because like a lot of the nurses we work with are not 8 year young.
Yeah, no, I love the people on my floor. Yeah. Like I have such a good staff on the night shift and the day shift people are very nice too. Obviously, I don't like talk to them as much because we just do the report and I go home. I do not sit around and talk. I love my staff, but it's harder. I think when you're just a nurse doing nursey things, you kind of forget that there are students on the floor sometimes. And maybe you did have something cool, but you're just like, you're in the moment. You're just doing the thing. The cogs are working. And then after you're like, oh, shoot, should have grabbed somebody for that.
Yeah.
But my orientation, I felt like there's just, it was not enough time to see the things that I needed to see.
Did you get to see anything like, cool?
I did blood. Yeah, I got to do blood. I got to do all like the push meds and everything. I got to transfer people. I got to do the admissions. I got the discharges.
Well, and here's when we did our preceptorships for fourth semester at school, I was at hospice. We didn't do push meds.
Yeah.
So I had to look at my preceptor the first time I had to go give push meds. And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. And she just looked at me and I was like, listen, in hospice, everybody has a sub-Q line. We don't. And she was like, what's a sub-Q line? Yeah. And I'm like, we didn't push meds. Like unless they had a port. Or they came over with, like, a good IV that was established. Like, we didn't start IVs on our patients at hospice.
Mm-hmm.
We did sub-Q lines and hooked them up to the portable pumps, you know? So I was like, I don't know how to push meds. And she had to teach me how to push meds that first day. And I was like, this is so horrible. Like, I feel like I should know how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But it just never, like, I never got the opportunity at clinicals to do it. So I had to learn
the job. I just did TPN for the first time, like, this week.
Really?
And I've been off orientation for, like, a month and a half now. Yeah, there's just, like, there's certain things that you're just not going to get to see. Because, like, within the window that you're doing it, it's just not going to happen. So, that's another little tidbit of my advice is just that even when you have no clue what you are doing, just say you don't know what you're doing.
Somebody else knows.
Somebody else will know.
Somebody else also doesn't know.
Or somebody else knows. Or somebody else knows what to Google to figure it out. Like, as a new grad, you are not going to know everything. You are not going to get to see everything that you want to see in that window on orientation. So, you need to be able to look at internally and go, I don't know how to do that. I need to tell someone I don't know how to do that. You cannot struggle bust this alone because that is dangerous and you are going to lose your license over dumb shit.
Well, and I think we're lucky too because a lot of our doctors are nice and they're new. And I've like looked at doctors straight up and been like, I have no idea what the heck you're talking about. Can you walk me through that?
Yeah.
Or like I've called and been like, I don't understand what you want me to do with this order.
Yeah. Like I'm I'm a year and a or almost like a year and something, a year and some change
as a nurse. Yeah.
And I just asked the NP I had on my night shift a week ago about like a question about cardiac irregularity because she asked me something and I went, I have no clue what that means.
I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah.
I don't even know what I'm looking for to look for what you're asking about. I was like, I need you to tell me what you're wanting to see. That way I can further evaluate this.
Yeah, like how do I evaluate this and answer this question for you?
I'm like, what are you wanting in the assessment? Because I can give you like what I'm assessing, but like if I'm not assessing the what right thing need. For you, then I need you to tell me. So like don't ever be afraid to say, I have literally no clue what you're saying. Like even like new grad, old ass nurse, like anywhere in between. Like well, you have to say it.
And the things change too. Like, you know, we always talk about like best practice and things like things update and change and what they were doing 5 years ago is outdated. You know, and so even though we do like continuing, and our hospital is really good about the continuing education, but like the other day, I didn't know and our policy had been updated. And luckily, like my preceptor is a policy
queen. Oh, yeah, she's on
policy
it.
Queen. But she was like, oh, did you know that you're supposed to chart where an NG tube is placed at like the measurement
every four hours?
And I had no idea. And my previous preceptor that I had as an LPN, I was like, did you know? And she goes, no. And so it was like one of those things, like we brought it up to our manager to put in like our weekly huddle. Cause we had, I mean, had Ashley, I love you, Ashley, not, she's watches, had she not said that, like, I didn't know, and my previous preceptor didn't know, so there was, like, obviously, like, the disconnect of the education, like, we didn't know that the policy had changed. Yeah, and granted, we get those emails, but, like,
I think that's one of my biggest my biggest pet peeves right now is that we have a policy for a lot of things. We don't have a policy for a lot more things. Yeah. And there's a lot of gray area in nursing where, like, there may not be a policy for it, but you're like, is this safe? Which is why you have to use your nursing intuition. But what kind of nursing intuition do you even have when you're a month? Like, when you're a month in, 2 months in, 3 months in.
Yeah.
Like, that's why nursing or, like, new grad orientation is just so, like, disorienting, because it sucks to not know what you don't know, and then there's some things you need to know.
Yeah, and you don't know what you need to know.
I mean, I think my advice for that would be just, like, when you have time off, maybe just, like, a day, if you're able to pull up your policies at home, just, like, give the ones that you do the most often on the floor. Like, if you're giving electrolytes on the floor, you search up that policy and see if there's anything.
I print stuff off at work
all the time. Like, monitor everybody's, like, cardiac rhythms on your floor, you look up that policy and see what you need to know about it. It's, like, the most things you do. And then, I don't know, when you're on work and you have a little question, you can always look up another policy. But just,
I think it's great that we have those nurses, though, that are, like, really good at remembering the policies.
Blah, 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 blah.
Because, like, those are the ones that I go to and ask questions. You know, like, I know how to drop an NG tube, but, like, is there a policy for it?
Yeah, is there certain steps we need to be taking?
And so those are my nurses that I'm like, hey, bestie, can you teach me?
Okay.
Or, like, can you show me? Because I, like, who would have thought every 4 hours that I need to go in there and be like, yep, she's at the same spot. It hasn't been.
Yeah. So while we're on that conversation, what was, like, your least confident thing that you were feeling while you were on your orientation? And then looking back, like, if you were the preceptor, precepting yourself, like, what would you have done differently to help more?
I think I had really good preceptors.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. I feel like I probably would have advocated for more time, because I feel like the 2 weeks as an RN was just not enough for me. But also, I think it's because I'm nervous that I don't know stuff that I should know, and that people are going to judge me that I don't know. And thank God, like I said, we don't eat our young on our floors. But I don't know. I wish we would have had more time. I wish there would have been more time to, like, actively look for tasks. But I think my preceptor was really, really good about advocating for me and being like, no, we need this on our assignment. Like, I remember one day there was, like, a patient with a heparin drip, and we had already had, like, somebody that was getting blood. And she was like, nope, we're going to do both because you can do it.
Yeah.
And she was like, you need the experience for both. And we only got 6 shifts, you know, because we had 2 weeks, which is 6 shifts to get things done. And I thank God she was that advocate for me, because I think I would have panicked.
Yeah. Okay. What about your LPN one? Like, when you were a baby nurse right off the bat, didn't know shit about nursing.
God.
What was your biggest fear?
I did not do well on the night shifts. The night shift was horrible. I'm going to keep bringing this up. When I was doing my LPN night shift orientation, that's when I learned that I have lupus. And I was like, why do I feel so horrible?
Yeah.
And I had lupus, but, like, it just was not for me. That was not, I don't think I learned a single thing during that time, other than I was just surviving. I was so sick. I had no idea. And I couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. And, like, the girl, I had 3 different preceptors on nights, and they were like, you're fine, and they were just like cheering me on. But I'm like, I don't know if I can do this. Like, I don't think I could be a nurse. Like, I thought there was seriously something wrong with me, and I didn't know that I was sick.
We would do our lunches together at nights, because I worked at nights too. And we would just sit in silence in the massage chair.
And she'd be like, are you okay? And I'm like, no. And I'm like, are you okay? She's like, no. And it was just, oh god, it was a rough time.
Yeah, I had issues as well, but it wasn't with the night shift. I actually transitioned really well. I tend to be a little bit more of a night owl anyways. Mm-hmm. I don't know about now. I think it's starting to, like, get to me a little bit. I don't know long-term wise, like, how long, like, some people are just do really well on the night shift for a long time. Yeah, we have those nurses that are, thank God. And I don't do bad. I just get tired.
Yeah. Well, flip-flopping back and forth has got to be hard.
Yeah, but I feel like I need to, because I hate not having, I hate not being in the sun and like seeing friends and family and like having a life and everything. Like if I lived in a perfect world and I could just do everything I wanted to do while keeping a night shift schedule, like if I could shop at the Walmart at 2 a.m., Walmart open,
go for 24 hours.
Do it for 24 hours.
You're going to get the night shift people, okay?
Like, if I could do that and just like see my family a little bit more on night, like it would be. But right now I'm doing okay and I'm comfortable where I'm at. So I'm okay with staying here for a little while longer. But I literally thought I was going to quit nursing every single day of my 3-month orientation. So I just want everybody to know that you're not alone. Like, it's such a hard time because it's like you're mentally learning all the things you need to be doing because you're still like you're learning. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't just stop gathering information when you're done with school. Yeah, you continue. Like
you're continuing.
So not only is it a mental game, but it's a physical game. Like, you're up, you're moving so much more probably than you're used to because you just got out of school. And we're very sedentary during school, I would say.
Yeah, I feel like we sat around and studied.
Like, some people are very good at, like, the working out. I was not. I'm doing more of that now. But it's that, like, it's a mental game. It's a physical game. And I didn't struggle, like, with the sleeping or just, like, physically on night shift. But I was just mentally in the trenches. Like, I'm a person that I just want to know everything right at one time. I wanted to be perfect. I didn't want to seem like a new grad that I was.
You didn't give yourself the grace.
I did not give myself grace. And that's why I tell everybody, I'm like, you cannot expect perfection because it will drain you. Yeah. Like, I got to the point, I think I was like a month and a half in, where I was crying literally every single time before I got to the shift. And then when I went home from the shift, not because like the shift was that hard. Honestly, like, I look back now and I'm like, Alora, you're so fucking dramatic.
She said it first, not me.
I'm a dramatic person.
We love you.
I'm a dramatic person. I really am. But, and I would just have those, like, the dream, like, when I did sleep, it was just, like, I would have imaginary shifts. And all I could, like, on all the shifts, I was just thinking of, like, what I was doing
what
wrong.
What you were doing wrong, yeah.
And honestly, like, I did not stick up for myself enough to be, like, I'm in a really, like, bad space mentally right now. Like, I don't know how to fix this, because I would do the tasks and it was a lot on me mentally. So I simply was like, for a month and a half before school started, because then we were going into our second year of RN school, and I was like, I'm not gonna be a nurse. And I got so scared because I still have another year of school to go.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't quit now. And so I gave myself some grace and I said, I don't remember who was telling me. I think it was my mom, actually. And she was like, you have to give yourself at least 6 months.
I think that you're learning, just seeing you as your friend and as a colleague, I feel like you're learning more how to advocate for yourself.
Yeah. And
not even just at work, like, just in general. Like, I feel like that's something a lot of people have trouble with. Even, I mean, I still suck at advocating for myself. Like, I will take it, all of it. I don't know how to say no.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like as nurses, like, how can we advocate for our patients and other people if we can't advocate for ourselves first?
Yeah, and that's so, like, the lesson I had to learn about myself.
Yeah, and it's hard.
Yeah, because I think, like, towards the end of that 3-month period where I was, because I would have these check-ins, right? Mm-hmm. And I did not set goals for myself, which I think was part of a big problem. Because when you're new, you're new. Like, how are you going to know what your goals are? Like, I needed a little bit more structure. Like, I needed somebody to tell me, hey, this is where you should be at right now, and you're not there right now. Or you just something
or like
that, you know?
Hey, you should be here, but you're actually further.
Yeah, like, I just, like, I was in purgatory. I was like, I don't know where I'm at. Like, am I doing good or am I not doing good? And I feel like on my floor, they're very supportive, but nobody's very good with, like, criticism. Like, they won't tell you
the
when
constructive
you're
thing.
Yeah, like, they won't tell you when you are needing a little bit more. So they just say, oh, you're doing good. And I wasn't feeling like I was doing, I felt like I was trash. I wasn't trash. I was a damn good fucking nurse.
You're not
I still
trash.
Am.
I love you.
But that's where I was mentally, and that's kind of where I live sometimes. I go to therapy now.
I'm so proud of you.
But by therapy, I mean it's like a little online thing. I don't go to an actual physical in-person therapy. I probably should.
Maybe.
But no, I had to learn. I had to learn to stick up for myself and go, I am not mentally okay right now, and I don't know how to fix that.
I think that'll be good. We can get into that on the next episode here.
Yeah.
Just how to, like, prepare for your shifts and how to have some self-care.
Yeah.
Important.
Yeah. Because I feel like a lot of, like, that anxiety came from, I didn't know how to prepare myself for a shift. And then I go into the shift already feeling like crap.
Anxious. And then it ruins your whole day.
Yeah. And then I just felt like it never got better and I never caught up. But
fair.
I actually figured out that I was having issues with people. I felt like I was being watched too closely But I also felt like I wasn't being watched enough. I know, walking fucking contradiction. I was like, I cannot have everybody hovering over me like they are.
But then why is nobody hovering over me? But
at the same time, I'm like, why is nobody watching me to make sure I'm doing something right? So I actually ended up, I had to tell my manager at some point, I was like, I need something different and I don't know what I need. So she actually had me start like shadowing the charge nurse, and the charge nurse was my preceptor. Mm-hmm. And it just was kind of like the same dynamic that I used for the entire years as I was an LPN, is that I would go do what I needed to do and I would come back and I would ask questions. And I think that's like, it helped me so much to like get out there more and push myself to do more on my own. But then come back when I was feeling anxious and have somebody there to just kind of be like, okay, you're fine. We're fine right now.
Yeah. Talk you off the ledge.
Yeah. So honestly, at the end of the day, and then I feel much more confident. When I went into my RN orientation, I was much more confident. I knew what I wanted to ask for. I had my goals set up and I was like, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I want to do. This is what I still need. And after the 2 weeks, they asked me if I wanted another week. Because they were like, because I think you can do anywhere from like 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, something like that.
That's kind of just what the regular is, especially when I spend a whole year being an LPN. But I said, no, I'm actually kind of comfortable. I was like, I understand. I'm at the mindset now where like I understand that I cannot learn everything on orientation. Yeah. And that there's going to be some things that I'm going to have to learn later, as long as I know I have a supportive team that can get me through it. And I do. And that's why I love the night shift so much because of it. Okay. Yeah.
I think that's good for the episode. What do you think?
Honestly, yeah, I think that's okay for right now. Down in the comments, tell us about your nursing experiences so far. Tell us, like, if you have things that you're worried about. Just share your thoughts. You know, we're all in this together.
Yeah, and add something about, like, what you wish would have happened on your orientation or anything funny.
Drop any resources if you feel resources. Like there's things that would help you or have helped you out when you did your orientation. Drop your funny stories. We're all just in this together, and we just like wanted you guys to know in this episode that like you're not alone in feeling isolated when it comes to orientation. Like
imposter syndrome is real.
Yeah, and we're really gonna dive into imposter syndrome on the next one too.
Yeah.
So we'll just get into it. All right, I think we're good.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.